Welcome to the Grad Chat with Jeannie Zillox, Liana Caffrey, and Kara Haas. If you're interested in some student stories and learning more about graduate programs or grad school as a whole, you're in the right place. Enjoy today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grad Chat. My name is Jeannie Zillox, and I am the Associate Vice President of Graduate Enrollment Management. I have with me today, as usual, my Associate Director, Liana Caffrey. Good afternoon, Liana.
Hi, Jeannie. Hi, everybody.
Thanks for coming. And our Marketing Specialist and Producer, Kara Haas. Hi, Kara.
Hey, everyone.
Today, we have with us three nutrition and human performance students. They are all second year students. We have Erica Bodner, Alyssa Constantino, and Dom Pasello. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. All right, so I'm going to take you one at a time, and you can introduce yourselves and maybe talk a little bit about kind of how you found Merrimack and maybe why you chose it, what makes Merrimack stand out from other programs. So we'll start with you, Erica, because I'm going to just go from left to right as far as I see it.
Yeah. So, hi, I'm Erica. I did my undergraduate out in Wisconsin, Concordia University, and I studied exercise physiology. And with that, we do touch a little bit on nutrition. So, being that a lot of my professors really pushed that importance of nutrition in sports performance, that's something that I really enjoyed. So when I found that Merrimack had that sports emphasis, that's something that drew me into the program. And now that I'm here, yeah.
All right, thank you, Erica. And Alyssa?
Hi, I'm Alyssa. I'm a current second year student here at the Masters of Nutrition and Human Performance program. I also just became our graduate ambassador, so definitely feel free to use me as a resource with any questions.
Nice, we definitely will.
Yeah, I grew up in the area and I started studying pre-med at Mass College of Pharmacy. And during about my second year of undergrad, I really decided I wanted to take more of a natural approach to healthcare and found myself in the undergraduate nutrition program here at Merrimack. And I really had a great experience in undergrad and also the Double Warrior program, and the sports specific focus of our program really led me to want to continue my education in the master's program.
Awesome. So Erica, because nutrition doesn't really have Double Warrior classes that you could take as a senior, did you take any other classes, or were you able to take classes as a senior?
Alyssa.
Oh, sorry, Alyssa.
Yeah, I did take a bunch of the prerequisites. Like I took exercise physiology, pathophysiology. I ended up taking chemistry again over the summer, things like that. But I did not take any graduate classes in my undergrad.
Okay.
Just quickly.
Cool. Thank you. Sorry for calling you the wrong name. Okay. And Dom.
How's it going? My name's Dom. Just like them, I'm a second year student in this program. I grew up in Ashland, which is about an hour away from here. I started off at Mass Bay, got my associates in liberal arts, transferred to UMass Amherst, where I got my degree in dietetics nutrition, took a year or two to work, get some more experience, and then I applied here. This was the only program in the area that offered sports with nutrition, which is my focus. I found that through my own journey. And then now I'm here.
Okay, awesome. Nice.
Great.
So we talked a little bit, I mean, I guess we touched on this, what makes it stand out for other programs, but let's try to talk about sort of Merrimack in general. Obviously, Alyssa knew about Merrimack as being an undergrad, but what about you other two? Is Merrimack a school that you had heard of before, or was it something you were aware of?
I mean, being that I was out in Wisconsin, I actually was looking at a lot of schools out in that area. I'm originally from the East Coast. So my mom had actually brought it to my attention that the school out here had this sports specific focus. And that's really stood out to me. So I decided to come back to the East Coast for that.
So where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Connecticut.
Okay. What part of Connecticut?
Like right on the New York border, middle of the state.
Okay. Nice. I'm from Connecticut. That's why I asked you that question. Also, because when I heard that you went to Concordia has a branch in Tallinn, Estonia, and I went to Concordia in Tallinn, Estonia for one semester. So we have two things in common.
Very neat.
So how about you, Dom? Had you heard of Merrimack before? I mean, being from Ashland, maybe you had?
So the name, I've heard the name before, never looked into it. I knew before I even graduated high school, my path was Mass Bay, UMass. What came after that, I wasn't sure. I found out then that we're going to have to get our master's regardless. Mm. So that's when I started looking, and my mom and I came across this program. She was very helpful in that process. But what stood out, what made me come here, was other than the fact that it was local, it includes the internship with the program. They help you find the internships instead of going out of your way to, you know, match yourself. Everything just flowed way, way more seamlessly here than any other location I could have been to.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, like I said before, I mean, this program, I mean, I can't say enough good things about it, really. I mean, all the students that we have talked to are so happy, and, you know, the graduates are gainfully employed. And so it's just, that's the goal for us. So it's great to see. So, okay. So let's talk about the classes and the credits. So let's talk about how many credits are in the program and what they are.
Yeah. So, throughout the entire program, it's about 56 credits. This is distributed between 5 supervised fieldwork rotations and 12 academic classes. So in the fall semester, there's about 4 classes. And then the spring, there'll be 3 classes, one fieldwork class to kind of check in about your work. And then you'll do about like 15 to 20 hours of your fieldwork aside from that. And then the summer, we do about 2 rotations over the summer. And then the fall is kind of the same as the spring, where you're in 3 classes, 1 fieldwork class, and doing your rotation as well. And then our last semester, we only have 2 classes and a fieldwork rotation. So they're kind of—
That's going to feel like a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really set up that way to give us some time to study for the RD exam and to prepare that way. And that's also when we're taking our professional development class. So that's some time when we can kind of wrap up some of these concepts that we've learned about and look towards like preparing for the exam.
So how have you found that so far? I mean, as far as managing your time and handling all of this?
Yeah, so in general, I think it's definitely a learning curve, and it's definitely a balance. I do think it's doable, and it is a nice balance to have like work in the classroom between like field work too, and also have some time for like work-life balance things. It's definitely like a skill to kind of get better at as you go on, same with a lot of other programs, but it is doable here.
So then to add on to that, so what is your typical week schedule like?
So this semester I'm doing my sports fieldwork rotation on campus with Morgan, our campus dietitian. And so about Monday and Wednesdays, I'll be working with her between Sparkies and athletics from about 8 to 1. Tuesdays are a long day, and they're about 8 to 4. And then we have all our classes pretty much the whole day on Thursdays. So the rest of the week is really open as everyone's at different rotations to do kind of like your different field work at different sites. And then we have our class that one day. And then for me, Fridays is kind of like a catch-up homework day, things like that.
And so is a similar schedule for the other two, for Erica and Dom?
Yes. Yep. So our cohort all follows the same schedule. But then for classes, at least with our field work, we have the opportunity to schedule it on any of those free days for whatever works for both us and our preceptor.
So Erica and Dom, where are your, where's your field work this semester?
So currently I'm doing my community rotation with Nourishing the North Shore. So with that, I manage their markets on Tuesdays and then help out organizing things over at one of their farms on Wednesdays. And then I take on a couple other little tasks here and there. Like last night, I was able to help out with the health fair. Next week, I'll be able to help out with food day over in Lawrence. So lots of great opportunities.
And I also work with Morgan. My rotation right now is food service. So I'm working with her and Sodexo at the dining hall. And I'm also paired with Anderson Nutrition, and I work at the Charles River, couple houses in the Charles River Center. So I just go around from group home, teaching various nutrition-based lessons.
And is this, for all of you, is this your fourth rotation so far?
Yep.
Yes.
And next semester is your last semester and your fifth rotation?
Yes.
Okay. Great. How have you found your other rotations?
Definitely. I think it's hard to kind of sum them up in one sentence because they're so different. I mean, we do a rotation food service, community, sports, research, and clinical. And it's really nice to get experience in all these different areas of the field. And Liz is awesome as our program director and really was super helpful with setting all those up and making them match our interests and then also like align with what we want to do. So yeah, they're really different, but I've found them unique in valuable in different ways.
So you really get a broad spectrum of placements, which is really wonderful. So you're well-rounded and you will hopefully have a chance to really figure out which one you connect with the most.
Definitely.
How, you know, in the selection process, do you have a say or do you sort of, you know, take what Liz, as the, you know, the coordinator, does she guide you on what she thinks is best for you? Or do you kind of have a choice within like community or research or clinical? How does that work?
So we were given the opportunity to kind of pick which ones as we go. She definitely recommended clinical over the summer because that was the most intense of them so far. And that way we could, you know, devote an actual work week to doing that. Sites inpatient and outpatient. But other than having clinical be recommended for the summer, it was you pick what you think works best for you. And then seemed like she really picked up on who we are right away and really recommended us to where we should be. She really kind of just understood what we were looking for, what we wanted, and matched us up kind of close to where we are as well, like locally around here or back towards my house.
That's wonderful. That's really helpful. Yeah. So is it too early to ask you if you have a direction that you want to go in?
I don't think so.
Well, Dom, if you had your magic wand when you graduate in May, where will you find your position?
Ideally with athletes or teams, some either individual athletes, sports teams, college, professionals, a big stretch right now, but you know, that's an end goal for sure. I got to work over the summer in my sports rotation and that definitely felt like it was most right for me out of every place I've been so far.
Great. What about you, Erica?
So coming into the program, I definitely thought that I wanted to work with athletes, work in sports. But being that we get all these different opportunities, it's really opened the door and opened my mind that I can do so much with this. And I've found new passions in the nutrition field. So honestly, I'm not sure where I want to go yet.
That's honest. That's good. And what about you, Alyssa?
Yeah, I think kind of the same thing. If anything, getting a little bit of experience in each area of dietetics has led me to realize I like bits and pieces of all of them and really see myself incorporating a lot of different ones into my career. But I'm really interested in combining my experience with nutrition along with research and like psychology and working with mental health towards like overall wellness promotion. So I've always been set on like a research setting or maybe a clinical setting, something like that. But I really do like some of these other rotations as well.
You know, that's the beauty of it, right? Is that you have all these rotations and you kind of find out what works best for you. So, So let's talk about the classes. So are all of the classes different and unique, or do you feel that the content all flows together?
So I think it's kind of a mix of that. So there's some classes that do, you know, have that content flow. So like we take a nutrition physiology course, which we apply then when we take our MNT course, or, you know, we take a nutrition assessment course, which we use when we're doing our case studies in the MNT course. But then we also take courses in like community nutrition, health promotion, where, you know, those two are similar, but they're very different from nutrition physiology. So I think there's definitely those different sections of nutrition, but each of those sections kind of flow with each other content wise.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I think I definitely agree. They're different in different ways, but they do kind of flow too. So we get kind of that broad spectrum. But I think it is nice how a lot of the class is broken up between, like, you know, content and guest speakers, and then like hands-on experience working with like assessment techniques in the lab and things like that. But I have found that certain concepts learned in one class will really help me kind of understand them and apply them in the next course.
Do you have a favorite class yet?
I do, but you saw.
I think personally, I'd have to say our sports nutrition class has been my favorite. You know, being that I came into the program really liking that athlete focus. I think I expected to know a lot of the content already, and I was actually surprised by how much more I was able to learn and take away from the course.
How about you, Alyssa?
I think my favorite class, and also the class that I found by far the most difficult and challenging, would be medical nutrition therapy. This built upon a lot of my past experience with like pathophysiology, chemistry, but to a whole new level that really gave me like the practical steps towards like what you do when you enter the room, really seeing a patient as a dietitian and all the all of the clinical terminology used and really just everything behind like what really goes into diagnosing a patient and kind of that next step between like a nutritionist to a dietitian is being able to provide that medical nutrition therapy. Like you have someone with a certain health condition, what kind of nutrition recommendations do you have for them? And we did a lot of case studies in this class, which was really helpful. It was definitely a broad range of case studies from, let's say, like a diabetic patient to we had a gunshot wound patient in the ICU who needed a tube feed as one of our examples. And just getting this like broad scope, it was a lot of work to really understand. It was definitely a tough class, but I think finishing a case study that took like a long time was almost like a puzzle kind of solved that I really liked.
That's cool. What about you, Dom?
Say my favorite class has either been sports nutrition or sports nutrition assessment, just because that's most relevant to what I'm interested in going in, and also challenged a lot of the beliefs I came in with. A lot of the nutrition I learned was from online, from people who turns out weren't actually dietitians and not even nutritionists. So coming from what I learned previously on my own time and finding out the actual truth behind, you know, what most people do know, it was very exciting, very interesting, and kept me, you know, motivated and interested for the future.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So do you feel that it is what you expected, right? Is the coursework at the level that you expected, or is it more challenging than you thought?
It has its moments of both. I mean, you see that you read the class title, for example, nutrition physiology, that was a lot like biochem that I took in undergrad. So I had background going into that, but it was biochem with surface level and we dove deeper. So it was, I had the understanding, but I had to learn more about it. So it was challenging on that front, keeping up with internships plus the classwork was more challenging than just the classwork itself, but it was, you know, fulfilling. It was challenging. We did have to put in the work to get the information.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'd agree with that. I'd say I have found the work pretty challenging. I've also found myself like prepared for it, but it's challenging in a good way that really causes you to like go out of your comfort zone and expand as a dietitian. And also all our faculty here and teachers have been amazing with giving like individual help, you know, support, as well as like we all work together and taking all the same classes that have really made it doable to kind of like work together to build habits with those things.
Yeah, I feel like especially coming into that first semester, classes were a little bit more challenging than I had expected. But it was kind of like that eye-opening experience of realizing how much time that, you know, we really have to put into studying and, you know, managing our schedules. It's like once we got some of those skills down, the challenge of the courses kind of became a little bit easier.
Do you three feel like the prerequisites were helpful in helping you succeed in your studies and in the classroom, or do you feel that they were a waste of time?
No, I think they were definitely helpful. Yeah, there's certain prerequisites you probably couldn't have to even started to take some of these higher level classes without.
I think specifically, one of the courses that this program requires is that exercise physiology course. And I think being that we have that sports emphasis, it's extremely important to have that background coming into the program, just because a lot of that content does overlap with that information. And if, you know, students came in without that knowledge, there'd be a lot more challenges to face.
So Erica, on that note, are you in your second year, are you just with second year students in the program, or do you take classes with other students in health sciences?
Yes, so we have a little bit of both. So a lot of our classes are just with our cohort, but we do have a few classes here and there where we're mixed in with a bunch of other students.
Okay, and what's the community like? What's the, you know, what's the Merrimack class community like? Can you three kind of talk to, like, as a prospective student, what, you know, what did you want to know what it was like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. I think every cohort is a little bit different within, like, how you kind of relate to each other. We've gotten, like, super close over the course of the semester. We do, like, study groups, help each other, group projects. And also Merrimack in general, since I went here for undergrad, I feel like there's a great community on campus that you really don't see at other schools, which is mainly why I love it here. I wanted to stay.
Yeah. I feel like being that it's a smaller school too, it was almost an easy adjustment coming into a new school. And with it being a graduate level program, there's those challenges. So removing the challenge and barriers of learning a whole big campus, you know, we didn't have that, which was super nice.
Yeah. And having only eight people in our cohort right now definitely makes it easier to, we all became friends pretty quickly. There's a lot of on-campus opportunity to, whether it's going to the homecoming football game or going to some of the hockey games. Our hockey team's pretty good right now. There's just so many opportunities on campus that we can all kind of come back and be a part of. So even out of class, we're still together, and they do a great job around here with that.
Well, here's one of the things that I remember from chatting with some of the nutrition students from last year. Jeannie and I had, and Kara had, some really fabulous radio chat conversations. And one of the things that I think is true is my niece just graduated from medical school. And I think one of the challenges is that we think medical professionals, doctors, have knowledge about everything, but I think they get like an hour of nutrition instruction in medical school. That's it. And so much, you know, with online and social media, people get a lot of their information from social media. And a lot of it is terrible. It's not from a medical profession. So did you learn, like, did you have any myths busted for you, and, you know, things that you thought you were doing right and you realized that you weren't, or, you know, anything like that?
Definitely. I had a lot of those starting in the first semester. I mean, misinformation is all around us, and it's really hard to pick out. That's one thing we work with a lot, is finding, like, reliable and evidence-based sources to get your information from, because it's everywhere, and every day there's a new diet trend, you know, a new fad or something like that, and you really don't know, like, what's right from wrong. And so I definitely had some eye-opening things where I was like, oh, I believe in this, and then it ended up not being true. Like, for example, I always thought, like, buying organic produce was better, but it turns out that natural produce is usually sold at a cheaper price and can be better as well. I mean, because it's genetically modified, they don't have to use as many pesticides, things like that. And that was a big one for me.
Mm-hmm. The whole idea of have to eat six meals a day and get your body weight and protein. And while that's not necessarily wrong, it's just such an exaggerated version of the truth that I feel like that deters people from trying to, you know, get right with their eating. And if you know, it's not as serious as they make it out to be. It's just, I feel like society, or the people who are pushing this information online, made it so extreme and intense that it's not necessarily viable for everyone.
So I have two things I want to mention to you, three. Is one is, have you ever picked up the New York Times magazine on a Sunday? And they always have a medical ethics, like mystery, like, so some of them are really cool. You should read them, the articles, because almost, I would say probably once every 3 months, there's always a nutritional mystery. And it's usually a nutritionist that figures it out, not the doctor. So that's some one. The other one was listening to NPR this afternoon. They talked about how there's such misinformation, and most of it is from celebrities, and people will follow celebrities, like thinking about Tom Brady and TB12. Like, so many people are trying to follow that prescribed regimen, which may not be correct for the average human being. So I'm just wondering whether you talk about that in your classes.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read the specific one that you're referring to, but we definitely talk about a lot of that. I feel like something one of our professors mentioned is that for a new kind of fad or a diet to take off, it needs to be like something new and novel and interesting to people. And people like a quick fix, like, oh, I can do this, or oh, I shouldn't eat carbs, or like, oh, this new thing is going to change me. And it really is like breaking it down to the basics of like, are you eating your fruit and your vegetables, meal timing, how many calories in versus out. But yeah, we do talk about that stuff. We also talk a lot about like supplements and if supplements are regulated or not. And I feel like a lot of those kind of things come out too.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that we already know and expect to be asked about a lot in the future by, you know, clients and patients. And, you know, thankfully we've been given instruction on how to navigate those questions and how to not necessarily just tell somebody like, no, that's bad, don't do that. But, you know, making them come to that realization too, that, okay, maybe this isn't a great idea. Maybe, you know, this isn't the best option for me.
I feel like dietitians get a really wide range of questions from our patients that we are like capable of figuring out and expected to know. So we do have like a wide range of those questions. I found our nutrition education counseling class we're in right now super helpful, because it goes about like how to really talk to patients in order to build like that change talk and motivation. That's so important within like the counseling session, without just saying like, oh no, that's wrong, or you shouldn't do this, you should do that instead.
That's great.
Yeah.
So in your classes, right, it's important, I suppose, to get some hands-on experience. So what experiential learning techniques do you experience in class, or are you working with during class time?
So in one of our courses, medical, MNT, medical nutrition therapy, we utilize EHR Go, which is like an online healthcare simulation. And with that, we're given like a bunch of case studies and stuff like that, and have to learn how to properly navigate that. So that's a really good hands-on experience that we do get. And then we also have had the chance to utilize the sim lab here on campus over in the nursing building. And the way that that one works is it pretty much mimics like a hospital room, where you have like a life-size fake person in a hospital bed. And that allowed us to really gain that hands-on experience and build like the self-efficacy of working with patients before being in our clinical rotations and in front of actual people.
Another interesting one we did was using the BOD pod, or the like doing sweat testing, or using the metabolic cart to, well, the BOD pod was for body fat percentage and finding out, use that to help determine your caloric need. Same thing with the metabolic cart, that measures your CO2 output versus O2 intake, and that determines like what percentage of carbs versus fat you're burning and using for energy at that given time. Sweat testing talks about like if you're losing, how much electrolytes you're losing when you sweat. So are you a heavy sweater or a light sweater? And that way you can tailor your, like say Gatorade might not be perfect for everybody. If you're not exercising for over an hour, it might not be useful in general, but if you're exercising out in the heat, you're sweating more. If you're a salty sweater, you might even need to add salt into your drink, things like that.
Yeah, so we really do use like hands-on experience in the labs and working with different tools in addition to like what we talk about in class to talk about all the different working with different populations, but also like the different areas of the nutrition care process. So within nutrition assessment, we look at like anthropometric measurements, which is like height, weight, things like that. We do some biochemical testing. So we worked with glucose monitors. We've done some urinalysis testing, sweat testing. We've done different clinical tests, as well as like dietary recalls and some different types of screening tools too. And what else? We talk about social determinants of health a lot and environmental. So yeah, there's definitely a broad spectrum of those kind of tools that we use outside of class time.
Wow. So a lot of hands-on learning.
Yes.
I'm a little stuck on this bod pod and I like, where is this? And can we come and get in it? Because I feel like.
So it's in the human performance lab in athletics. It's usually used, I believe, for like educational purposes with classes. I think some of the sports teams might use it. But yeah, we were able to use that during our nutrition assessment and sports.
So did you do it? Like, did you each get to go in?
We yep. did. Yeah.
I mean, it must be so interesting to learn that about yourself, right? Like how your body is processing everything and what is happening. I mean, I would love to know. Liana, should we go down to the
bottom? No, Jeannie, I think we should. I think they should. You guys want to measure me? We can measure me.
Seriously.
I would love to see you guys in that.
What's happening. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you find that you're like, so I'm fascinated by this so much. Like if I could see you guys every day, then I would probably be asking you a question every day. Do you find that your family or your friends are asking you questions? No.
It seems like the closer you are to people, the less concerned they are about what you have to offer. It's a little discouraging. It's like they don't
believe you. I'll keep you busy for weeks.
Yeah, like strangers will come up to you or people like you're recently acquainted with and they'll want to know more, right? But I've had very few friends actually be interested in what I'm doing. My parents don't really ask about it. They ask about my education. They're really happy and proud about that, but they're not all that concerned about utilizing my knowledge versus what they already know. That's not much about them not wanting to get better. It's just too accessible, maybe.
I definitely get that too. But I feel like I have kind of a mix where I'll have some friends like be like, oh, like my doctor said I was low on vitamin D or like I was anemic or like, what do you think, Alyssa? And like ask me for my advice on it, which is nice to apply like in class to actually helping out someone without overstepping, of course. But then I also found that like certain family members will hear like misinformation on the media and feel like this is what I believe in. And like, oh, you're just my sister. Or like, you're just still a student. Like, I think having the credential really goes a long way. Like when I found when it's external people in like an external circle are more receptive of advice than when you take people in like your inner circle who might not know you like in this dietitian role.
Right. Yeah. They don't know you that way. Right.
Yeah. Definitely.
What advice would you give someone who's thinking about this or what's one tip about classes that you would want to tell someone new that's coming into the program?
Honestly, I would suggest that students really focus on having and like following a set schedule outside of class time. Just because there is a lot of, you know, studying and assignments. And then once you mix in field work with it, there's a lot to balance. So I think it's, you know, important to set aside proper time to do assignments and proper time for studying because, you know, this type of program, you can't just cram at the last second. It doesn't work.
Yeah, definitely. I would say like organization, time management, you know, work-life balance, really taking the time to plan your schedule, but also like make time for downtime, make time for like physical activity, extracurriculars, because like the better you really are mentally and physically, the better you can kind of show up and take full advantage of the opportunities that are presented. And also I'd say use your connections and get to know your cohort and build new connections and be open-minded.
And if I was to say anything, it's you do have the time to get this done. You might have to make sacrifices in some places that might mean you can't work full-time anymore, especially if you have an internship going. You can expect 15 to 20 hours a week at that alone. That will cut into your time, but you do have the time to get the whole balance done. You can still hang out with your friends, just prepare accordingly. You can hang out, you can be there for your family if you have a family. The opportunities are there and you can get it done. It just, like they said, does require planning, coordination, getting that work-life balance.
So what else? Any final thoughts? You know, anything that sort of you want to make sure that you mentioned about the program, you wish that someone had told you before you started, or anything that just kind of stands out, a professor that stands out, a class, just kind of anything you want to make sure that you mentioned about the program?
I think the staff is honestly really awesome about, not treating you necessarily like a student. You know, it's like your ideas are also valued at their level.
Yeah, definitely. They kind of view us on a first name, phone number basis, yes, as peers. But also with that professional connection, but you get more respect and autonomy as a graduate student, which is a nice change from undergrad. So everyone's been like super supportive. I've definitely grown personally and professionally a lot through this program that I didn't really expect to going in. I also didn't expect to form like really such a community and have it be like as fun kind of as it is too. Yeah.
I think they got it.
Yeah, no, I do just wanted to sort of touch on that community piece for a minute because, you know, it is really important to us, right, to sort of establish a graduate community here at Merrimack. You know, the graduate programs are still fairly new, and that's still something that we are really working on. But I have to say that this cohort model, especially nutrition, really helps with that so much. And you touched on it before about supporting and helping each other. But I wonder, like, do you find that across the graduate programs, and do you know any of the other graduate students in any of the other programs?
Yeah, I'd say that's something that's unique about Merrimack as well. I don't know as many people in other programs, but I do. I mean, I'm biased as a nutrition student, but I think our program stands out in terms of like community, being newer, being a smaller size in terms of comparison to not only other programs, but also like other schools as well, from what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, I see that too from a sort of outside perspective. It's wonderful to watch. It really is. I mean, at the grad welcome this summer, I mean, you probably know we have a bigger cohort even than yours. And to see all of them together at the table and kind of already knowing each other and talking, it was really exciting. It was awesome for me. So it's a feel good moment for us in admissions to kind of see that come together. So
great.
So thank you so much. It was so nice to meet all three of you, and good luck. And I am so happy, Alyssa, that you are a graduate ambassador. So we'll probably talk to you soon. Yeah. We might ask you to give tours or talk to other students. But thank you again so much. And we will see you all on campus.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You listen to Grad Chat with Jeannie Zillox, Liana Caffrey, and Kara Haas. Join us every week. Have a great rest of your day. This podcast is brought to you by Merrimack's Graduate Admission and our hosts, Jeannie Zillox, Liana Caffrey, and our editor-producer, Kara Haas. Thank you for listening.